Welcome to the Bible Boot Camp series. This is Todd Tomasello with SafeguardYourSoul.com. And if we do nothing else but encourage you, whet your appetite to study God's Word, then we've done the most important thing. We pray that would be the case for each one listening. This is for the body of Christ. This series, as is most of what we put out, is for the teaching and the feeding of the saints of Christ. But if you're truly known of God, and many times we speak of us knowing Him, but Scripture speaks of Him knowing us there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I believe it's verse 3, being known of God, then we desire to know Him better if we are truly in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author of all of Scripture. And to know His heart, we must search the Scriptures, as He encourages us to do, or exhorts and commands us to do. It's to search the Scriptures. He says, "For they are they which testify of Me." And so knowing the Scriptures, to know them, is to begin to know the heart of God. Those who desire to know the heart of God will study the Word of God without fail, absolutely without exception, where God says He reveals to us, to His people, His heart. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 11, very important verse. Now, let me say from the onset that I want to encourage you to write down every single verse mentioned here and capture it. And go back and put it on an index card for your own edification and learning, so that you will be able to navigate Scripture for your own organization and studying the Bible, and therefore your own ability to be able to convey it and teach it to others. The best way to learn is to teach. Absolutely. If anyone listening, and I'm sure many of you, have taught at least one other person or a group, small group or otherwise, the Bible. And when you're studying the Bible, when you are faced with having to teach it, that's when you learn the most. And that's what I want to encourage you to have as a focus, is not only learning for yourself, but being able to learn in order to teach others. Amen. That's what we are to do. We're to give an answer to every man. To be ready to give an answer to every man, and asketh us a reason of the hope, that is the hope we have in Christ, that is in us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel," that is the word, the written word of God, "standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." So the very thoughts of His heart are conveyed in His written Word, which is the final divine authority on all matters of faith and in doctrine for the Christian faith. Amen. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. It's eternal. Truth is from God, and it is eternal. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. So the thoughts of His heart, the very thoughts of His heart, are conveyed in His counsel. Now, in learning to navigate the Bible, one of the first things we want to do is look at the 66 glorious books of the Bible, and to kind of break them down, if you will. And this may seem a little bit simplistic, but I believe it'll at least encourage everyone, no matter what place you're at of maturity and of knowledge of the Word of God. Well, those go hand in hand, actually. In your life with Christ, the Scriptures tell us that the mature in Christ, if you will, are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, even their senses, to discern both good and evil. And before we look at a breakdown of the 66 glorious books of the canon of Holy Scripture, let's look at this passage. Let me read it to you real quick here. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Why were they dull of hearing? As the Holy Spirit-inspired writer of the book of Hebrews points out as he is addressing them in warning them about apostatizing or departing from the faith, which is something this whole book of Hebrews warns them about repeatedly. He says they were dull of hearing. And he says in verse 12 of Hebrews 5, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, or the elemental truths of the written word of God, revealed in the written word of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong milk, of strong meat." So we notice a few things here. First of all, they had backslidden, and he is chiding them and admonishing them. These are people that should be teaching the word of God, and yet they have need that one come back around and reestablish them in the ultimate authority and importance of the word of God and knowing it for themselves. They were dull of hearing because they had not continued in the word of God. Jesus says in John 8, 31 and 32, after people had gotten saved, "If you continue in my word," see, that's a big if. And you and I, we all have an individual, unique history of the moment we were saved and where we are now and what's happened between those two points. And our goal here is to encourage you to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way you can not be ashamed, especially, in this earth, but also especially when you stand before God, and the only way you can avoid being ashamed at that point is to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's how we're able to rightly divide the word of truth, is by studying the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Again, I want you to memorize that scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And everything that we would encourage you to memorize would definitely be out of the King James Bible. Amen. So then he says in verse 13 of Hebrews 5, "For everyone that uses milk," or useth milk, "is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So your spiritual maturity in the kingdom of God has little to do with how long ago the Lord saved you, but rather specifically your knowledge and your ability to navigate and understand the word of God. We see right here, he says the babes are those who are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, that word unskillful comes from the Greek word aporos, which means inexperienced or ignorant of the Holy Scriptures. Okay, so that's verse 13. And then verse 14, the last verse of Hebrews 5, he says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age," or the mature saints, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The only way, beloved, that God's word is going to get into you is for you to get into it. It's not going to happen accidentally. Maturity in the Lord requires your full attention and your heart to be engaged in seeking the Lord. Strong meat are the deeper truths of the Lord's word that he would reveal of his heart to us through this deep, diligent, daily study of Holy Scripture are reserved or belong, if you will, to those who are of full age, those who study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen, it takes work, that needeth not to be ashamed, and they're able to rightly divide the word of truth. And that, again, is 2 Timothy 2:15, and I would say that's probably the theme scripture here for us today in this segment and for you to memorize. When you memorize something, you are bringing into your spirit and your mind that which will actually produce after its own kind in you. I can remember a number of years ago when I was kind of a youth pastor in Alabama. I remember a group of us, all on our own, not organized out of the church, but just as believers, begin to get together at my place and somebody else's, and we would write down scripture on index cards and embark on a actual topical studies of different topics important in scripture. And one of them was seeking God. Another one was fearing the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And even to this day, that many years later, those verses are part of my life and part of my repertoire of scriptures, if you will, part of that which I'm able to teach, and part of, most of all, that which helps me to know and to seek God. Again, fearing the Lord was one of them, I remember, also seeking the Lord. And when we studied about seeking the Lord, it ignited in us the desire and the life of Christ to seek his face daily. 1 Chronicles 16:11 was one of those verses, and it says, now seek the Lord and his face. Seek his face continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. I'm sorry. Seek his face continually. That's a command of God. And so once you bring the word of God into your heart and you continue to abide in Christ, John 15, these are going to be treasures for you for the rest of your life in Christ on this earth. And by the way, we have a new book out. It's called 40 Bible Verses Every Disciple Must Know. And those were compiled by Sister Debbie Lord, who's a part of the ministry, as treasures, 40 treasures from Scripture in this small book for you to memorize in your life with Christ. Okay, moving back to what we're talking about here in the books of the Bible and breaking them down and be able to stand back and look at the skeleton, if you will, or the way the books of God's Word in the 66 canon are organized, and how knowing the Word of God is so important and essential to knowing the heart of God. First of all, as we step back and look at the Bible, Holy Bible, every book today that claims to be a Holy Bible is definitely not a Holy Bible. There are most and all of the new versions of the Bible, I must say, beloved, and it's for concern, not out of preference, but out of conviction based on comparison. They are unholy. Scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that holy men, what kind of men? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got the Bible. And we've had it preserved as God promised, Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, to every or all generations by God. He kept his promise, and the King James Bible is the manifestation, the answer, the fulfillment of that promise for the English-speaking peoples of the world, where God preserved his word to our generation, as he promised to do, in the Holy Scriptures in our language, which he foreknew, would be the largest people group, the first or second, I believe it's the first now, in the whole earth, speaking this language, and that would be English. And so, again, Holy Bible, some are so gullible and have not done their homework and believe that every book that says Holy Bible on the front, and it's a thick book, is God's Word. Beware, saints. We have a very large section on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, called Bible Versions. Okay, drop down menu on the right. Category Bible Versions issue, and it's very fascinating and very thorough. I highly encourage it. And again, let's use the King James Bible, saints. Let's get back to the King James Bible and get away from the fairy tale counterfeits that Satan has, who is the corrupter of God's word all the way from the Garden of Eden. He has not changed one bit. And so he is the author of the creation of all of these new Bible versions, which are corrupt. So we have, in the 66 books of Scripture, we have, it breaks down in several ways. Let's talk about that. First of all, the Old and New Testaments, right? Most of us know there's an Old Testament and a New Testament in God's Word. The Old Testament is 39 books long, and the New Testament is what? 27 books long. Okay, there are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. Okay, also we know Jesus used the term in his speech in Luke. One of the places is Luke chapter 16. He says Moses and the prophets, and Moses and all the prophets. Luke 24:27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And that brings us to another point here, that the central theme of all the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Word of God. He is the one revealed in his word. He said, search the scriptures, again, for they are they which testify of me. He is the grand subject of all of scripture. The sacred substance of scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This was on the walk to Emmaus with his disciples. And notice, he expounded unto them from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Also 24:44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Bible, which we'll get to in just a moment, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So he gives us three sections of the Old Testament scriptures right there. The first was the law of Moses, which we call the Pentateuch, penta meaning five. That's the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay? Also, the prophets. Well, and the Psalms. Okay? So, there's a breakdown right there for us. Now, again, Old Testament and New Testament in the canon. 39 books and 27 books. And then we could say that there are the historical books of the Bible, the history books after the Pentateuch. Let's see, from Joshua, where they were going into the Promised Land, all the way to the book of Esther, are the history or the historical books of the Bible. Okay? Again, the Pentateuch, or the books of Moses, the law, the first five books of the Bible. Then the history, or the historical books, is the next segment of the organization of the books of the Bible, which you have Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Okay, so first, the five books of Moses. Second, the historical books, or the books beginning with the sixth book of the Bible after Deuteronomy. It's Joshua through Esther. Then you have what's called by many the wisdom literature, or the poetic books. the poetic books, I like to call it, and wisdom literature from the scriptures is also a good terminology for it. And that's from Job. They're all together, by the way. From Job to Song of Solomon. Again, the poetic books. And they're called poetic books because they're written in more of a poetic fashion or prose. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. Okay? That's the third segment, if you will, in the organization of the books of the Bible. First, we observe that the books of Moses are the first five books. Then the historical books of the Bible from Joshua through Esther. Now we're looking at right in the middle of the Bible, if you will, Job through Song of Solomon. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And then you have the prophets, beginning with the major prophets, and then going into the minor prophets, which begins with Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the first and what we call the major prophets. Now, that doesn't mean Isaiah's writings were any more inspired than the smaller books, but major and minor prophets refer to the size of the books. All scripture, remember, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We'll get into that verse more in this series. And it's profitable for four things: doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so on that divine authority and truth, we say that the minor prophets are equally as important, even though they're smaller books of the Bible, and in this case, the prophets. Okay, so we have Isaiah, Jeremiah, those are the two, them and Ezekiel, which is the fourth book here. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, which was also written by Jeremiah, and Ezekiel are the longest of the prophets. And then you have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Okay, that makes up the 39 books of the Old Testament canon. Again, these are the four ways they're organized. The Pentateuch, Penta meaning five again, are the books of Moses, the law, if you will, the first five books. And then you have the historical books, which come right after from Joshua through Esther. Then you have Job, the poetic books, Job through Song of Solomon, five poetic books: Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Isaiah, and Song of Solomon. Then you have the prophets, beginning with Isaiah, then Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And then we move to the New Testament scriptures, the canon of the New Testament scriptures, which begin with Matthew and end in with Revelation. Okay, and the first grouping, an organization in organizing the New Testament scriptures, is the gospel. The gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Two of those men were actually part of the 12 disciples, the original apostles of Christ. That would be Matthew and John. But all three of these men penned in a unique individual gospel. We can break these down more in the in this series, but for now we'll say that each one of them had a different emphasis, if you will. And each one of them wrote from a different perspective concerning, they all wrote of Christ. And each one of them gives us a unique view of Christ, which is such a blessing. Jesus is that multifaceted diamond, if you will. And no matter what angle you look at him from, he's sparkling, shining, and beautiful. Amen? Okay, so the Gospels, the four Gospels, are the first segment of the New Testament canon breakdown, the 27 books. Then we have the epistles. Then we have the historical book, one book, the book of Acts. Just after, it's the fifth book in the New Testament canon. The Gospels, four books. Then we have the book of Acts, the history or the historical account of the early church beginning when it was born at Pentecost in chapter 1 and 2, and the history of the beginning of Christianity in the churches in Asia and Europe. And that's a 28-chapter book. Now, I also want to point you to that very thing is learning how many chapters each book of the Bible has in it. And that's very simple. As you're reading a book, step back and look at the big picture. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here in this short segment is take a step back and view the Bible from a whole, you know, kind of get the skeleton of it. There's no way you can begin to navigate unless you take a deep breath. You step back and you take a look at a whole. Have you ever seen an aerial view from a helicopter or aircraft or a drone where you're able to look from a bird's eye view down into a neighborhood and how you can see vast amounts of things that give you a whole new perspective of whatever it is that you're looking at. And while you're maybe walking down the street of that neighborhood, you don't see this perspective. But when you see it from a bird's eye view, it makes a huge difference as far as understanding the layout of it. And that would kind of be illustrative of what we're doing here. Okay, the Gospels, the four Gospels, then the book of Acts, then the epistles. Romans, which is called the ABCs of the Christian faith. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Jude. And then finally, one book and the last book in the Bible and the last book in the New Testament canon is the book of Revelation, which is a prophetic or apocalyptic literature, divinely inspired, if you will. And, okay, so God is the author of these books written by 40 or more men who were inspired by him, as Scripture says. All Scripture is given by inspiration. It's God-breathed is what that means. And is profitable to teach us the doctrine of Christ, which is another term that we see in Scripture. The doctrine of Christ appears twice. Hebrews 6:1, which says, therefore, leaving the principles or the foundational truths and doctrines of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or maturity. And that's the only way to do it, is to learn the Word of God, as we had already read in this very passage there in the end of Hebrews 5, let us go on unto perfection or maturity in Christ, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. You know, we lose our momentum when we drift away from the study of Holy Scripture. The study of Holy Scripture is the most important endeavor you could ever embark upon in this life, and namely connected with your abiding life in Christ. And when you stop studying the Scriptures for whatever reason, and there's no good reason, literally zero, then you're drifting from God and you lose all your momentum in Christ and in the understanding and knowledge of His Word. God rewards continuity those who are consistent. Amen. The study of Scripture is something you want to be consistent in, period. I've got two brothers in the flesh, and recently I was sharing with them because we always talk about a lot of things, but one of them is working out. And we talked about how when you stop working out, you lose all of what you put in. You don't get the benefits of all the work you did in the past. And that momentum builds when you continue to work out, never missing, because that's just not something that you do. And you know, that again, that's just an illustration. And how much more important is it in the study of Scripture to be blessed with momentum in our learning and our in the power of God and the blessing of the revelation of Jesus Christ revealed by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures in continuing. Again, with consistency, and that is non-negotiable and without exception. Okay, the doctrine of Christ, Hebrews 6:1, is a term we see. Also, 2 John 1:9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth, or does not remain in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God." Now, that's a very severe warning to us, saints. If you don't continue and abide in Christ, in the doctrine of Christ in specific, you do not have God. He that abideth or remains in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And simply put, the doctrine of Christ is that which we study of Scripture and know of the Holy Scriptures as pertains to the divine person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many spurious and heretical false doctrines circulating today in that which calls itself Christianity, and this is one of the reasons why it's so very important. It's essential to know directly from Scripture what is revealed to us of Christ so that we're not led astray and deceived. Paul warns us to beware lest any man spoil you or ruin you. And if it weren't possible, we wouldn't have this warning here in Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Right before that, he spoke of those who would beguile you with enticing words. We have a similar warning throughout Scripture by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 3:17, as we close here in this first or this segment. 2 Peter 3:17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things," that is, those things revealed in the Scriptures, "before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." God bless you, friend. I hope this has, if nothing else, I hope that this has whet your appetite to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God bless you, and thank you for listening. SafeguardYourSoul.com.